The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday, as we live and die by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because whether we live or die, we need to do it all in the name of the Lord. First up, there are two great places where we can get help. One of them is God. The other is you and me. Next, we examine that the things that happen to us happen for a reason. It's not always fun, and it doesn't always feel good, but it is always a part of the plan. And finally, part of our Christian DNA comes into play when we walk alongside of the Lord and pray to have the courage that proves that we are His kids.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, and my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You're welcome to call the show, 972-445-0770. I did check with Terrific T, with Tierra, and it is a fact that if you do call the show, the telephone will not shock you. Okay, that's a good thing to know. You're welcome to do that. You're welcome to text 214-210-8483. Again, you will receive no shock. The third way that you can reach us is to find an animal that's moving along the ground, put a note around the animal somehow by a rubber band or by glue, and then just hope it finds its way to us. By then, we'll be long gone, probably off the planet. Anyhow, keep in mind it's for prayer requests, praise reports, of which we pray for people every day. We have praise reports that come in, but we can only share what we're allowed to share. So I'm just telling you that. We're very careful with people's information. Pop questions, which we do our best to answer, and trivia, the favorite of many people. Let's start off with a pretty easy trivia question just to get things rolling. The Bible says there is only one thing that never fails in relationship to things we should be operating in. What is that one thing? One thing never fails. Oh, there you go. Got to think that through, but you know, the right answer, the first one that comes to your mind, that is the right answer. I'm telling you. All right, folks, here's a couple things to keep in mind. Any topic is open for conversation. Why? Because it's not professional radio. We prove that all the time. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right, couple things to work through, walk through, and talk through all at the same time. Number one, don't forget about Ray Bentley's book. We put it on our website. If you get that book, and I had one of our wonderful people that listen and that support our ministry, Deb, who's also a board member, has purchased this stuff for her husband. So I hope he's not listening because it's a gift. Steve, if you're listening, you have to forget everything I just said. Anyhow, the bottom line is she got this book for him, and the bottom line is that this book will be a blessing for you. If you get this book and you don't like it, and I'm not kidding you, if you get this book and you don't like it, tell me and I'll give you your money. It has nothing to do with Ray, nothing to do with the book. I'm just telling you it will be a blessing. I promise. You go to our website, you click on it. We don't get any money for it. We don't get any affiliate deals. There's no nothing, 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 because we don't do that. What we want to do is get you as close to the Lord, connected to the Lord, thoughtful about the Lord as is possible on an each and every day basis. And this book is a great devotional. Noel is using it right now. I read him every day, so I know what he has to say. And I've read and sat under Ray as he was the pastor. He is the pastor of the Maranatha Chapel in Escondido. Great guy. One of the best teachers on the Old Testament. Really tough to find a good teacher on the Old Testament where you don't snooze a palooza. Like, oh my goodness, you're killing me. See, he's really good. He's entertaining. You know, that's how that works. Okay, we got so much to cover, so little time, as is the story of our lives. Keep in mind that our trivia question is not what the Lord from what the Lord is, because of course, this is my hint to Eric, the Lord is always faithful. But we're looking for what we need to be operating in, what we need to be operating in that never fails. That's your only hint, bud. I can't give you any more. Let's get ready to get into our expository teaching.
Wow! 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 All I can say is wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
Of course, that has nothing to do with the expository teaching, but I love hearing that. I saw an old Steve Martin movie. Like, it was like this clip from an old movie he had done, like in 79, and he was riding into town on a mini pony. so funny. He's really big, and it's a mini pony, and it's funny. All right, folks, here we go. Here's what Paul said. I'm going to actually back this up to Philippians 1:18, just to have the context all together. Here's what Paul said. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true. Now listen to that. From false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this I rejoice, and yes, I will continue to rejoice. Now, before we go anywhere else, before we get into the text that we're going to talk about, these two powerful elements that you and I have access to or should have access to and should be involved with, I want to point out what Paul's situation is. I think it's really easy to forget because we've taught, I think, five times on the Philippians, and you tend to forget. Paul is in prison. And he is going to face death, okay? This is not the time where you're like, hey, let's go to Farrell's. Okay, this is not what that is. This is not ice cream sundae time. This is a guy that is disliked simply because he believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Now, you got to think about the power of that, right? He is in prison for his faith. He will not compromise his faith. Guess what he didn't have the opportunity to do, which we're really good in this country? He didn't have the opportunity to sue Caesar. Oh, so I'm not going to let me do things. I'll just get a lawyer and sue you. He was in prison for the gospel's sake. And he says, look, I'm in prison. Things are tough everywhere in the world right now. Makes it very clear that some people are preaching Christ out of envy and out of selfish ambition, and they don't have the right motives. And Paul's attitude was, I could care less. I'm just glad Jesus is preached. The reason that he was happy is because the gospel message is the key message. You can come up with all the stuff you want. You can go up and down in theology. You can have so many doctoral degrees that they call you Dr. Fahrenheit. That's how many degrees you can have. But that's a joke, Cozy, degrees and Dr. Fahrenheit. But the bottom line is it all comes down to the gospel message. And Paul's like, I don't care. As long as Jesus Christ is preached, and they weren't preaching falsely, they just had the wrong hearts while they were doing it. And then he says, yes, because of this, I rejoice, and I will continue to rejoice. That's the scriptural challenge right there. You know, when things are going good, it's easy to go, thank you, Lord. Thank you that I got to get to work from fate Texas all the way to the studio, and there was hardly any traffic, and there was no problems, and all the problems were the traffic going the other way, and just thank you that I was on the right side, and that went great. It's easy, but when it's bumper to bumper and you're running late and you're freaking out, do you praise the Lord then? Do we continue to praise the Lord, or is our praise of the Lord selective? By that, we're saying this. Do you praise God when everything is going the way you think it should go? Oh, that, just Dave, take the dagger out of my back. Oh, because when you're thankful because you think that things are going the way you think they should go, you're telling God you approve. Congratulations on approving what God has allowed. That is fantastic. However, the true source of faith is trusting in the quality of God no matter what the circumstance looks like and believing that God has a better plan, but even more importantly, has your best interests in mind. And being able to be thankful in a continual position, remember Paul said, rejoice always, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I understand there's people like, well, I'm not going to praise God because I split my leg open. Nope, but you might want to praise God that you had a leg to split open, and if you're not careful with your attitude, maybe you'll only have one. The idea there is to understand that in everything there is something that God is doing. Now, does that mean that you're happy all the time? No. But being happy and being thankful to God are not the same thing. Being thankful to God is recognizing that He is fantastic. He is perfect as God. And everything He does and everything He allows is perfect. And it's a recognition of who He is, what He does, and why He does it. Does that mean it always feels good? I'm going to say something that's going to gross a bunch of people out, but I love you, and you have to love me because you're required to in Scripture. I think that when a mom is giving birth, that it's not just the mom that goes through a little bit of stress, but perhaps also the baby going through the stress as the child is coming out of the birthing canal. Let me just say this real quickly. If that child doesn't come out, there is no life. That doesn't mean that on the way out, it's all rainbows and Skittles. What it does mean is that process has to happen for life to be there. I don't think that process is cotton candy. I'm just saying that. If that's how it starts, folks, that's a testimony from God saying, hey, life's got these moments, but you got to go through them. Why? Because on the other side of it, there's such great things you have no idea. Ah, very interesting. That's a good analogy, I think. I'm going to use that in the future again. All right, the Bible says there's one thing that never fails. What is it? Love. Love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13:8. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving part, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
With his special guest today, Focus on the Family Trauma Specialist, Tim Sanford.
People, as they try to sort this out, they go through this, they go through maybe a litany or a list in their mind and try to evaluate, well, you know, is this this and is this this? And what you said right there is the key, that the core of our strength, the core of our ability to go on yet for another day in the midst of what we would consider to be chaos, both socially, politically, and in other realms, is the Lord. I mean, the Lord gives us the ability. Until he blows that trumpet, we are not done.
Exactly. And that's where we come back to, people ask me, well, again, the why questions that people all across the U.S. are asking. And my best theological accurate answer I can give them is, I don't know. I don't stop there. That is an accurate answer. I finish my answer then by saying, here's what I do know.
Excellent.
I know that God is still on his throne. I know that God knew what was going on. I don't know why that. Here's what I do know. God is still a loving God. He still is in charge. Here's what I do know. Here's what I do know. Here's what I do know.
The David Spoon Experience.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Getting ready to give you the next trivia question. Before I do, let me give you a couple of updates. So moi, or personally me, I guess, is just so I finished my one class. Now I'm starting another class. Technically, the class doesn't start till Monday, but they release the information a couple days early. I was looking at the information. Not looking too bad. Sorry. That's not terrible. What I did do is a little bit of calculation because I'm trying to figure out, you know, this is my fourth class, and I'm just trying to figure out now, you know, am I going to be, you know, like 90 by the time I get through this?
Oh, yeah, God, no.
That's exactly what I said to the Lord. It's kind of funny. But it turns out that if I can just stay on pace and hopefully without any huge interruptions, that from this point now, 2 years from this point right now, I would actually be starting my actual final dissertation. So that's not too bad.
Woo!
That'd be good, you know. Then they'll call me Dr. Dave, but my kids won't call me that. My kids don't call me at all. Well, maybe they're smarter than I thought they were. Okay, let's get into the next trivia question. You know, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483. This should be a little more straightforward than the last one. If you don't know it, I'm going to give you two chances. It's kind of a two-parter. You can tell me the book and the chapter and or the verse. So you have like a threefold way you can answer this. In what book of the Bible, and then again, what chapter and what verse, do you find the words born again? You must be born again. Where is that in the Bible? Oh, those born-againer people. Okay, where is that in the Bible? Okay, that's a big issue for certain people from a theological point of view. Not so big for other people. Let's not forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so don't forget now, and I've been telling you this now, for those that never got a chance to see that sermon that I preached, it is on the website, hemustincrease.org. And I tell you this, I think every single month that we've been doing this, let's see, this is, we've done 360 shows, okay, here, which is pretty good, but, you know, it's a long way to go to get to, you know, 1,250 where we, you know, absolutely necessarily have to get to. But I will tell you that almost every time in every month you get to the 20th of the month or the 21st of the month and the 22nd of the month. And what do I always say, T? What do I say to people about as we get closer? What am I always asking for?
Donations.
Yeah, put her on the spot, but she didn't have to think much about it. Like, what does he ask for? Oh, yeah, money. Okay. I don't want you to do it in any way, shape, or form where you ever give that takes away from your primary place of giving. I think that's really important for me to communicate to you. I'm not confident, unless the Lord has made it absolutely clear for you personally, that should be the case. But there are tithes and there are offerings, and we're hoping to be a part of the offerings part. Can't say it any simpler than that. So do your best. And at a minimum, you can certainly pray for us, and we would appreciate that. Some people really can't give. They really financially can't do it. And we get that. We're not. There's no, you know, disappointment in that. We do expect people to pray, though. I mean, that, I think, is a reasonable request to ask people. All right, so Paul starts this whole process off, and he goes, hey, look, it doesn't matter what's going on, left or right. I don't really care. I want you to catch this. The important thing that, whether it's false motives or true, Christ is preached. Of course, nowadays, people will go, oh, no, that's not okay. But it is okay, because that's what it says in Scripture, and only God knows the deepest part of a person's motive. You don't want to try and step into God's territory and evaluating the depth of a heart. That, you got to be careful there. So the idea is that he's just super happy because people are responding because Jesus Christ is being preached. And he says, because of this, I rejoice and I will continue to rejoice. Then this is the next part where the next big section comes in. And he says, for I know that through your prayers and help given by the Holy Spirit, that what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Okay. Listen to this. So that's the key. You can play it again. That was all right. Because here's the bottom line. It is through your prayers and the help of the Holy Spirit. Now you're thinking, well, Dave, it'll happen even if that doesn't happen because, you know, God will just do it. Here's the problem with that kind of thought process when you sit there and say to yourself, God will just do it. God wants everything done in partnership, working with his people, through his people, around his people, inhabiting his people, hanging out with his people. And the Lord makes it absolutely clear that he wants us in partnership with him. He's going to do the heavy lifting, but we're the ones that do the petitioning. And that's what he expects of you and I. So when we talk about that, you know, we talk about Romans 15:30, where Paul says, join in my struggle for me by praying for me. He's like, join with me, become a part of this whole process by becoming a prayer partner. Now, unfortunately, the phrase prayer partner has lost some of its zing because of the telethon kind of thingy. Be a prayer partner. Give $9 million and you can be a prayer partner. Hey, you give $9 million, you can have a whole wing named after you. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is when you do pray, you do partner with that person in that cause unto the Lord. That's a reality check. That doesn't change, okay? And it's really important for all of us to grasp how powerful that is. It's not an accident that Acts 12:5 says, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. God wants our active participation. It's a play that we are unfolding in our positions. God knows how the play goes, but he wants the actors to act their part. And that's you and me. And we get involved with the Lord, and we pray, and we participate. And Paul goes, look, I know I'm going to get something good's going to come out of this. One way or another, I'm getting out of this mess. And he does is saying one way or another in this sense of whether he dies or whether he's freed. He doesn't care. But one thing he's saying is I'm going to get this deliverance because you guys are praying and because the power of the Holy Spirit is working. And those two principles are quickly dismissed. And how we dismiss them is we think, well, God will just do it. I'm going to ignore it, and somebody else will take care of it. Listen, when the Lord puts anything on your heart, when you hear something and you go, man, I hope that gets done, that burden is in your life for a reason. There's a purpose behind it. God doesn't just drop the same burden on every person the same way all the way across the board. It's different burdens on different people at different times so different people can be engaged in the process. And Paul's like, my deliverance is coming because you guys are praying and because the Holy Spirit's going to do this awesome work and I just can't wait to see it. Guess what? He's relying, get this now, he's counting on the power of the Holy Spirit doing all that God has intended for it to be done and the prayers of the people. He is counting on the prayers of the people. You've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again. When you say to somebody, how you doing? They say, oh, I got this going on. I really need prayer. Do not say you will pray for them and then not pray for them. That's very disrespectful. If you're going to commit to pray, pray for them. I think it's the best habit. This is not a legalistic thing. I just think it's the best habit. If you're praying for somebody, pray for them right then and there. Even as you're walking away, pray to the Lord for them. Then you'll never forget to pray for them. I just think that's good habit. But the idea is to understand that we have a part of this and God has a part of this. And again, this is reiteration to what we said last week, that everything is done, and even just yesterday, everything is done in partnership with God. And so Paul is just straight, he's not even mentioning any words. So your prayers, I know that through your prayers and the help given to me by the Holy Spirit, what's happened is going to turn out for my deliverance. But he's counting on the church at Philippi to pray for him. Let me just say this real quickly. People are counting on you. Okay? I'm not talking about the political this. I'm not talking about any of the... People are counting on you in your walk with the Lord, in your petitioning. They're counting on that. Do you know, want to be really honest? I'm counting on you to pray for me. Because if you don't pray for me, we'll never make it. It won't happen. I need as many people involved as I can get involved in trying to get this ministry to minister to as many people as possible. I can't do it without you. It is not doable. And with that is the reliance that the Holy Spirit will do everything that needs to be done. You can't get past this, that Paul's counting on the prayers of Philippians and the support from the Holy Spirit. That Greek word is epikinoios, which is really close to epigenosis. And the whole process is he's a helper. He's a supporter. He's a strengthener. So it's okay when you're really having a hard time to go, oh, man, I need the help and the support and the strengthening of the Holy Spirit, Lord. I need that right now. It's nothing weird about that. It's totally normal. After all, look at Jesus' ministry and then recognize that ministry comes about as Scripture defines because he was filled with the Spirit. Like, hey, oh yeah, that's a good idea. You're running out of power. You're running out of energy to keep it going. You're running out of the ability to stay strong on the faith. I got an answer for you. I have an answer for you. By the way, the same sustaining Spirit that walked with Jesus Christ through his trials is the same sustaining Spirit that Paul is talking about here. It's like, wow, okay. These two elements are crucial. They're critical. They're important for us to grasp, which is why we need to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit and what we're doing day by day through the Word and through life. And we need to be more aware of our prayer time in partnership for other ministries and other people. Okay? All right. In what book of the Bible do you find the words born again? You must be born again. John chapter 3, verse 3. For those that don't know it's there, go read it and you will see it. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Jesus' longest sermon that's recorded is Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, which takes about 25 to 30 minutes long. It takes about 30 minutes to read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So here's a lesson for pastors and preachers everywhere. Jesus said everything he wanted to say on the Sermon on the Mount in 30 minutes. Paul took 12 hours. God didn't record a single word.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Sometimes, hallelujah. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. You know you can reach us 214-210-8483. I had to think about that. And then also you can call in 972-445-0770. Before I give the next trivia question, somebody wants to know, why are you getting the PhD? What's the reason? Here's my absolute, genuine, bona fide answer. I don't know. Okay. It's like the Lord opened the door. I said, am I supposed to go through this? And instead of getting the big rush of wind, it was more like a finger behind me going, push, push. So there I am. You know, figure it out. Here's your next trivia question. Now, you guys should all know this. You don't all have to answer, but you are welcome to. You can call in on this one if you want to. It's very simple. What number is associated with the identity of the sign and or the mark and or slash the tattoo and or the chip of the beast? What's the number associated with the people are like, wait a second, whoa, what's that? What number is associated that way? Just think about that. Just make it, keep it really simple, and don't freak out on me, okay? Don't freak out. But the number that is associated to the beast in the book of Revelation, just real simple, okay? All right. Let's go into our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. I wish I knew how to play the drums. That would be cool,
me
wouldn't
too.
It?
That's kind of a cool. I don't know how to play the clarinet.
You know how to play the clarinet? Did you take clarinet when you were in school?
Yeah, I was in band like all the way through college.
That's what I took. I took clarinet.
Oh, I did bass clarinet.
Oh,
ooh. Ooh.
I did clarinet to get out of class clarinet. Okay, I'm just telling the truth. Don't get mad at me. Back in the day when they had the Bundy cases with the clarinet and it broke down, one of the little Bundy, it was a, that guy doesn't matter. Anyway, that was back in the day. Many people will remember that. Let's cover a little bit of history because we need to, especially on this particular day. It's National Radio Day. So, I mean, if you're listening. Yay! It is National Bacon Lovers Day. Some people don't like the smell of bacon. Okay, well, don't smell it. Okay, that would be my first thing. Second thing is, I'll take your portion. Thanks. And also, last but not least, National Lemonade Day, which is
yummy.
I mean, that's good. Lemonade. I like lemonade, right? All right. Let's see. In this day in 1920, Detroit, Michigan, the first commercial radio station begins its operation. But if you guys knew this, I would really give it to you. It's WWJ of Detroit was the first one that began the operation. Isn't that amazing? The first commercial, which is kind of irritating in one sense, but in another sense, that's what supports it. Lou Gehrig hit his, on this day in 1930, his 23rd Grand Slam home run. You know what a Grand Slam is? So you have a man at first, man at second, or a woman at first, woman at second, person on third, woman on third, and the person comes to the plate and they hit a home run when the bases are loaded is a Grand Slam. And this guy hit 23 of them, which is like that is impressive. Certainly last, but not least, boy, this would just be good in politics in general. Don't get mad at me. It's just in good in general. And I'm not saying about this election or any election, but in 1844, the first president not to run for a second term was President John Tyler. This is like, he's the leader who goes, yeah, I'm not doing it. I want to know why, though. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, if somebody said, I did that president gig, that was fine. Now I'm doing this. See, I would have a lot of respect for that. Would you? What would you think if somebody did that?
I mean, yeah, I'd feel the same. I have, like, respect because I know running a whole nation is hard. So
right.
I'm sure he was like, yeah, I'm going to do 4 years and call it a day.
Yeah, I'm going to do my 4 years. It's like, that's not the only job to do. And I'm just saying, I mean, for me, you do radio. I mean, I hope to do radio for another 20 plus years. But I'm just saying, in general, I do this. I might end up teaching in a university part-time for, you know, a couple of years. I don't know if I do it for 20 years.
I might run for president, be there 4 years.
that's what they want. They want somebody like me in the presidency, Mr. President. And then I'd be going, who?
You'll put your doctor to use.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to use it for something. All right, folks, here we go. Here's the next segment. So Paul, after he talks about getting that help through prayers of other people and getting the help by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, he said, it will turn out for my deliverance. And then he says this, and this is a very fascinating, it's on the same lines. And as you notice, as we're in the book of Philippians, encouragement, 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 encouragement. Why? Remember I told you when we started this book is a very personalized encourager. This letter is a very personalized encourager. Encouragement letter. Paul is writing this to this church at Philippi. The jailer was one of the first people saved. Lydia, the dealer of purple from Thyatira, she was one of the first people saved. He's involved in this church. He's committed to this church. He's poured himself into this church. Very intimate. One of the few churches that doesn't get a lot of rebuke. It's very little rebuke, very little, you know, negative. And so here Paul's just, he's encouraging. And the reason that he's encouraging is because as you read scripture from time to time, you need to hear the Lord do this. Just listen. Ow! That's a smack. Now that could be on your head or on your bum or whatever. I don't know. But every once in a while you need that. But you also need encouragement, just like any parent needs to know how to discipline and needs to have that balance. Well, that's what the Lord does. That's what the book of Philippians is all about, that encouragement to keep us going. Here's what he says. Paul says in verse 20, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ would be exalted in my body. Paul says something that's rather striking if you think of it. He says, I eagerly expect and I hope. Eagerly expect is hoping with a very high level of expectation, and then hoping is that back door going, yeah, I hope it works. So it's not that he's contradicting himself or anything. It's just like you and I. It's like, I'm really expecting this to happen, and I really hope it happens. That's normal. That's human. And his attitude was a fascinating one. He said, I eagerly expect and hope that in no way I will be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body. His concern was that he would tarnish the testimony of Jesus by not maintaining his courage. So as you guys know, and I'll say it just straightforward because I'm trying to say these things really honest, there is a much louder demonstrative position in political circles on one side of the arena versus the other side of the arena. And it's one thing if you're like, well, I don't want to say anything because I don't want somebody to scratch my car, or I don't want this to happen, or I want to have a bumper sticker that says this. And it's one thing for you not to get involved in the political arena because you're concerned about that process. I can understand that. But you don't get a pass in that in Christianity. You might be thinking, well, no, these are connected. No, they are not. Christianity has been around for 1776 years before the United States was ever born. This is a world movement by the Lord Jesus Christ, who even Napoleon Bonaparte said the greatest army ever by a general who's not even there, and he still recruits people every single day for an invisible army that swarms the earth. It's like, now you get it. It's like, yeah, that's pretty good. That's a good statement. Why? Because that's what Jesus is doing, is he's continually growing his kingdom. If you remember the book of Daniel, that little rock becomes a mountain and consumes the whole earth. Here's the bottom line. You and I do not have the same position that in the gospel and in serving Jesus Christ that we do in other things. Like if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan and you go to Houston to watch the football game, you might be a little bit more low-key, right? Because you don't want people to throw stuff at you. Got it. But you don't get to do that with Jesus. There is none of that. And in fact, his prayer is that he will in no way be ashamed, but that he will have sufficient courage. And what is it that we say about our DNA? Draw closer to the Lord, never be ashamed, and always be ready. That N in never be ashamed means, get ready, never be ashamed. Don't ever be ashamed of Jesus and his words. Don't be ashamed of your faith. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no shame in absolutely standing firm in the gospel truth. And his prayer is that he would never be insufficient in courage to be a spokesperson and a person who manifests his life to the glory of Jesus Christ. And you can't hide your faith. You can't take it and you can't light a candle and put something over it. I mean, you remember that? I mean, that's what Jesus said. You can't do that. It's critical that of all the things that you do and don't support, and I don't even care if you're for McDonald's or for Burger King. I don't care. If you're Star Wars or Star Trek, I don't care. For Jesus Christ, you cannot scurry away and hide. Because Jesus said that if you are ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you when I return. I'm like, ooh, not good, right? All right. What is the number that is often associated with the body, the mark, the tattoo, the chip, whatever the case may be? In regards to the mark of the beast, that number would be 666. Oh, one day we'll get into the depth of that. That will be so much fun. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-484-6637. 503-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon experience?
I did what most Christian men would do when they make a mistake. It's their fault. There's nothing but humiliation on your face, and you're trying to recover in the moment. And you know what I did? I blamed it on every possible unseen force except for myself.
You have chosen wisely.
So guess who knocked that crystal light on that white carpet? It was Satan, by golly. Well, it was at that moment, because it certainly wasn't my fault. I didn't knock the crystal light all over. It was my glass. I did pour it. I did bring it to the table, and somehow fell on the carpet and spread everywhere. And by golly, I wasn't going to take the blame for it, because that would be taking personal responsibility. Well, I'm not taking personal responsibility. After all, that $500 deposit we just had that we were hoping to get back when we move out is already down to $200. And it was dropping by the dollar as the stuff was spreading.
What is the David Spoon experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I really do like that commercial. It's the last one I wrote. I mean, I like it, though. It's just one of those things that really gets you going. Boy, do we got stuff. This last segment is wowzer. That's all I'm going to say. Let's get right to the trivia, because we don't want to miss up on that. That's like messing up, only you're missing. It's a miss up. Okay, it's even worse than a mess up. It's totally bad. Here, you can text us 214-210-8483, or you can call 972-445-0770. When David was a boy, that's King David, when he was a young boy, what two fierce animals did he fight and kill? He had to fight two very fierce animals. Do you remember what they are? If you do, you can text in, let us know that you know. Here we go, our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right. I just thought of something about the trivia question. This could help some people. I was just looking at this thinking, oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Two of the three animals in the Wizard of Oz song, that would work. Oh, my. That's all I can say. You got to figure out what song it is. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, my. Okay, that's if you can remember that, two of the three animals, then that would be, you'd be on track. Okay? All right. I'm just going to leave it right there. It's kind of a mystery hint for you, and then I'll tell you at the end of the show. So let's go back to what Paul said. He was expecting not to be ashamed and have sufficient courage to manifest Jesus Christ, to make sure that whatever he did made reference to Jesus Christ. And then he says this line, which has pummeled theologians for years. And it shouldn't, it just has. And he says this in verse 21, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul, from the best situation to the worst, whether through life or by death, Paul's passion was to honor the Lord. And you may think, well, I mean, how do you do that? What, how does he go about that? Because everything Paul was, is, and would be now found itself in Jesus. Here's the whole thing. Jesus was the key to Paul's joy. That was his life. And so it's like, look, whether I live, it's for Christ, and whether I die, it's for gain. And you think, well, wait, how does dying give you gain? Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. For Paul, it was quite simple. He loved hanging out with the Lord. To die meant he would be hanging out with the Lord more. So the way that to live as Christ and die is gain is that by dying, there's less separation between the person and Jesus, and that's the gain. And if you don't believe that's the gain, then you don't have Christian faith. It's like, what? You can't say that. I just did. And here's the other part about that. Paul was absolutely clear under the leading of verbal plenary process of the Holy Spirit. Look, if we are in this life, this is all the faith we have, and there is no resurrection, we're of all people most miserable. I mean, it's like we're like dummies. It's like, look, this whole thing is about eternity. Oh, it's all about the journey, Dave. Not if you end up in hell, it isn't. It's all about the destination. And the important part is to understand how passionate Paul was, and he drops that on these people who know how important Jesus is. It's like, look, for me to live is Christ. Everything I do, every day that I wake up, I might not, you know, he's making a tent. He's not going around every single time he pricks his finger singing, you know, joy, 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 because I pricked my finger. He's just concentrated or focused on the Lord. Maybe when we're done with this tent, we'll get a chance to talk about this or worship here. He's just really committed in his process to the Lord because Jesus was the key to Paul's joy. And for us, it should be that way too. So we can say, look, to live is Christ. Right now, we're doing the best we can to connect with him. But to die is gain because we're with him. And nothing separates us from him. See? Cool, huh? This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Van.
Hi, brother. How are you?
Excellent.
All right. Now, this is a good one. And I did give a little bit of a hint in the Wizard of Oz song, but let's just see if you can come up with it without that. Here we go. David was a boy, and he had two fierce animals that he had to kill. What were the animals?
A lion and a mare.
That is correct, sir.
Oh, my.
Excellent job, and I'm assuming you knew that right away. I just know you probably knew that right
away. Yes, sir.
And then the hint in that song was in the Wizard of Oz, they go lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Exactly. I'm glad you caught that. That was a good one, huh? All right. Excellent job, my brother. Thank you so much. Great, great
yes,
job.
Sir, bless you.
All right. Bless you, too. All right. Excellent. So good. So good. I love our audience is cool. I mean, I just love and he caught that, oh my, lions and tigers and bears. Did you catch that?
I did. It took me a minute, but I was like, I think this is it.
Yeah, that's good. Just trying to help people on this, but he knew. I mean, he didn't need that, but he knew the song too. That's funny. So here in this whole premise where he's talking to these guys, and I want to bring this up because I'm gonna relate something that you're going to think is absolutely insane or nuts or whatever. I don't know. But my brother and I, when we first became Christians, he became a Christian first. 30 days later, it wasn't 30, it was 2 weeks later. Maybe it's 30 days later. Some portion thereafter. Yeah, he prayed with me. I prayed the sinner's prayer, okay? And you know, made that prayer and made that petition. And then in the next 6 to 8 months, God was really working on us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as him and I grew in our faith, we had a couple of different times we shared an apartment. And one time we were in this apartment complex called Fairmount Greens, which was on 29th Street and Indian School in Phoenix, Arizona, somewhere around there, maybe between 29th and 33rd. And I remember a conversation him and I had in passing how that we had decided not to follow into the family's money by being Christians and that had come to this conclusion. Now, watch this conclusion. This is how simplistic faith turns into a lifelong mission. we said, well, what's the worst thing that can happen to us if we don't follow the family money because we want to be Christians? What's the worst thing that can happen? And we were talking to each other. So, well, we can end up broke, poor, and living on the street and homeless, and then we could have no food. Watch this. And then we would starve to death. But then we would be with Jesus, and then that wouldn't matter because that would be great. And so the whole conclusion process, and you're thinking you guys are nuts, but not really. We really believed that the worst that can happen to us is that we could perish here on the earth, which would be the best thing because the whole point was to be with the Lord. That's how it is to live as Christ and to die as gain. That application. That no matter what you go through, no matter what you're encountering, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how good it gets, no matter how up it is, no matter how down it is, this side of glory is exceedingly limited. But on the other side, when we're with Jesus, it's exceedingly glorious. And that is the core of our faith. And you either have that faith or you don't. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't doubt from time to time. Everybody doubts except for, you know, Jesus. I mean, everybody goes through, oh, I hope this works. Boy, I hope it happens. Yeah, I get that. I do. But then you go back to the testimony how God has been faithful year after year and time after time and moment after moment and how he's delivered all of us and answered 10,000 prayers and saved us 10,000 times. And then the testimony and the witness of God stands firm. And it's like, nah, I can't unravel all this time. So when Paul says to live as Christ and to die as gain, he meant it. And we should mean it too. And we should understand that our departure from here is an advantage. And you think, but this is the only life I know. That's what the baby says when the baby is in the womb. That full 9 months, right? It's the only life the baby knows, being in the womb, being in the stomach of the mom, being in that place, being in that safety zone, having those comforts. Then the baby comes out. And then guess what? There's a whole life that's in front of the baby. That's what I think God gives testimony in nature and in humanity all the time. What a great testimony. Once you come out, it's a whole cool, incredible, undescribable life that never could have been known in the womb. Oh, yeah. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.